Well, back to the show today. We're talking about auctions and heavy machinery and construction machinery. And we're joined in the studio by Keith Lupton, who's the VP of Regional Sales World for Worldwide Auctioneers. And it was interesting because people might think, well, what's the relevance to property? But you know, obviously you can you have an understanding of where the construction is going on, in which countries, who's buying, who's selling, what is happening as far as construction is concerned. You've been here for over 30 years. You've seen the industry peak and trough and peak again and trough again, etc. And you were saying really the biggest markets at the moment are Iraq, Saudi and West Africa.
Yes.
Not a great deal happening here in, for example, in the UAE.
No, but not dead. I think people are nervous because of the periphery events. God bless us, in even Bahrain a little. You know, it's probably like banking. People get very nervous when things are not correct, not stable. Egypt, luckily, have had the election. We look forward to them. Shipping to Egypt is quite expensive.
Oh, right.
And they often buy in Europe, to be honest.
Oh, did they?
Great pity.
And what about the Chinese market? I mean,
they supply. Okay. Second-hand Chinese stuff does tend to fall. You can buy it cheap enough new, but when it comes into the market second-hand, really a very old and well-worn Caterpillar will outbeat it any time. Even the trucks.
Really?
Whereas Mercedes, Volvo...
So quality-wise, you're saying it's still not quite up to scratch to the
well-known
brands? No, they're
brands. Getting there. They're getting there. Some of the bigger names are doing well in Saudi and improved that product. Their main thing was backup, spare parts.
Right.
Do you buy any of your equipment at these conferences, sort of regional conferences, like the Big Five Construction Conference? I remember we even did a show from there, and I remember there's a lot of sort of discussion of machinery and also Western machinery versus Chinese machinery and sort of in its popularity in the area. Yeah. And I'm just interested in, you know, do you get involved in those? And
oh, yes,
you learn
we're very
from
fond
them?
Of the Big Five exhibitions. In fact, we're a bit exhibition junkies, I think.
Well, it sounds like you're in the junk business anyway.
Because you really do meet a vast panoply of people. I know before I joined Worldwide, my ex-general manager said, Keith, you'll meet some very interesting people.
I bet.
You get a banker there who suddenly is really representing a very well-heeled guy, and there he is in his suit and he's sweating away outside and buying bulldozers for his client on instruction. You know, and
find it a fascinating industry. I think I really do. I think this.
You know, an old lady will come in and suddenly buy Toyotas like a mad thing. You know, it's incredible. It's very interesting.
And really. Do you actually, as a company, buy machinery?
Yes, a small amount. Okay. Some of our rivals buy a lot more. We are in there. Unfortunately, it tends to drag away the central finance. To be honest, we are. Auctioneers, core business. We are doing it because there are some people who are nervous of the no reserve. Although it does work, things sell for what they're worth, to be honest.
So you could start the bid. I mean, well, I know you probably wouldn't, but hypothetically, you could start a dirham and then see what happens.
Yes, we often do. In fact, our highly skilled, usually two American auctioneers come in and they hunt at a very high price and they start until they get a bid.
Right.
Some of the owners complained to me, well, why don't we start at 17,000? I said, well, I'm certain we'll get there and more. And really, things do sell very much according to plan. Mm. You get the odd thing that doesn't do quite so well, and you always get the apocryphal piece of rubbish that sells for very high money. That is very rare. Mm. Maybe one item a sale.
Many years ago, I went to the Enron auction when Enron collapsed, and I went to it, and it was on Buckingham Palace Road, and it was quite amazing how people bid more than you could actually buy for. You could buy a television flat screen then for one price. People were actually overbidding on it to get it from Enron. Now, that's how addictive and hypey an auction can be. I've been to the car auctions here a couple of times, funny enough, and just to see what they were like. And it's quite interesting because you see prices go to a level which are almost constant, as you were just saying. You know, there is a price which you can start off wherever you want, but you'll end up at that price in the end because there's always someone in the audience who realises what the value is.
Got a lovely question come through from a listener, no name on it, saying in Lebanon during... I think he might have said during the war, I'm not sure. My dad sold his VW bug car to a bakery. They use the engine to generate electricity.
Oh, isn't that lovely?
Ingenious, isn't it? Although it just shows you, I mean, you know...
There's no end to human creativity and ingenuity.
We have had sales in Lebanon. In fact, we were right by the airport. But it was a bit like Holland. You get the overheads. It's very high overheads with people and property and a yard or whatever. And so we retreated in to a certain extent back to Jebel Ali. We're as happy as Larry here.
Really? Yeah, and that's what I wanted to ask, sort of from a legal standpoint, you know, how are you set up here? And because the whole sort of auctioning business in the UAE is not, you know, is not a very common concept. And we're hearing about these real estate auctions and that sort of concept developing, but rather slowly still. You know, it's not something that has, you know, much of a sort of precedent here yet. So can you just walk us through how you set up? What sort of challenges you might have encountered? I imagine a few. And how it works?
Well, basically, we set up in the free zone, and they were immensely helpful. And we also had a large shipping logistic company behind us, advising us what to do. It was a spin-off. They also got all they still do.
Well,
all
that
our
obviously
incoming cargo goes through them. But they have lots of WASTA kind of thing, and the free zone also is immensely helpful.
So does that mean all the machine is actually sort of not on shore, so to speak? So does that mean you don't pay
an item that comes from Sharjah, for example, a lady's Range Rover, that obviously arrives in the free zone, duty paid.
Right.
And we just sell it and the chap buys it and he can take it away or bring it back to Sharjah. We also test all cars. We guarantee that the chassis is registerable or mention it in English and Arabic clearly that it is not and it is for spare parts only.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, recently I went through looking for to buy a car after I scrapped my car, and there were a lot of cars that were advertised by allegedly owners, but really ended up being dealers from Sharjah. And these are fairly new cars, a year or two old, sometimes, you know, like 6 months old, and they're significantly lower than a brand new car, although a lot, and even lower the ones that are advertised, you know, by sort of private owners on Dubizzle, for example. And so I was trying to figure out exactly what was going on and, you know, how these, where these cars came from. Long story short, I ran into a few sort of kind of Russian-speaking car dealers, and this is the story. They buy a lot of these cars from auctions in the U.S., because in the U.S., cars are quite inexpensive, and, you know, auctions in particular, you can pick up really, really good deals in the U.S., and so they get shipped here, and most of the time, these cars actually are damaged in one way or the other. But, you know, because they're fairly new, they make it here, and then they repair it here, and that's why I think I remember the sort of the tipping point for me was because it would be a car like 6 months old or a year old, but no warranty. You know, there's a manufacturing warranty always 3 to 5 years. And when these cars were advertised with no warranty, I mean, that sort of kind of what alarmed me. In any event, so we did a little more investigation and turned out that, yes, actually, if you go to RTA and ultimately you can get a sort of record of the car or the history, and it will tell you exactly how it arrived into the UAE, and it's always through, you know, basically to Jebel Ali, and then, you know, what kind of damage it had and where it was repaired. So the story I heard was most of these cars actually are brought here to be repaired and then sent to Africa, Iraq, and other sort of Central Asian countries. So it's a massive market.
But they're kind of like Franken cars, aren't they, I suppose?
We ourselves do tend to keep away from... Many of them are crashed in America and they've been repaired to an extremely high standard. But to a certain extent, I agree. I've been here too long. RTA said, no, thank you. We don't want highly repaired vehicles. And we, in fact, everything goes through the RTA. We get some right-hand vehicles, of course, for East Africa. It's a pity. It's a very hard market. It's hard to get, because poor old Japan is producing, of course, all these domestic items, right-hand drive. We've only got New Zealand, which is it's very expensive to send a vehicle to New Zealand, or East Africa, who just don't have the money for the late models.
Right.
So we get NGOs with the right-hand drive as well. Right. They're in super condition normally.
But interestingly enough, these cars are a lot more expensive in Africa and, you know, in sort of the other Middle Eastern countries, a lot more expensive. I mean, you were talking about double or triple the price of what they would be even here.
Supply so and demand, there's
a lot of import duty.
Yeah, right. Right.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So there's a lot of money to be had there for, you know, for those who deal with these kind of cars.
Yeah.
But you have to be careful because, you know, they look very new, and then it's little things. You know, when you're trying to sort of you test windows opening and be one window in the back, see this all this over in the back.
Well, and the boot
not,
opens.
Does not. Yes, something like
that. I had a few cars like that when I was about 19. Yeah.
Tinkering away with them. We must take a quick break, and we'll be back after this.